Welcome back, father lovers, to a brand new episode of Last Call at Pemberton's The Best Damn How I Met Your Father podcast on the internet. And yes, John, I said best damn because it is the best damn.
Listen, you've got your opinions.
I do.
The internet has theirs. That's all that matters.
They have not disputed my opinion, so that's all that matters. Hi, I am one of your hosts, Josh, here with my best bud, John Mann. How are you doing this week?
Well, as you can see, I popped down to my own local pub. I'm throwing back some cold beers, throwing me back some shots. It's a great fucking time to be at. No, I'm in my living room, but I decided to throw back a wallpaper like Josh.
It's true.
Still enjoying some cold beer.
I hope it is cold.
Shots over are empty.
I hope it is cold, my friend. I hope it is.
It's in the freezer. It's definitely cold.
I'll say a warm beer, not so pleasant. Definitely been there.
You know me. I'm not a warm beer guy.
It's true. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest, man. If somebody out there is a warm beer person, they're probably a serial killer. I'm just saying.
They're the guy driving the naked cabbie cab.
Yeah, they are the naked cabbie. The naked cabbie loves himself a nice lukewarm beer. Room temp.
Throws himself back some warmpus.
Yeah, man. A room temp warmpus is probably his favorite.
Oh, man. See how we connected that, people?
Yes.
It's a connect the dots type of episode.
Well, if we're talking How I Met Your Father beers, he's probably either rocking a Labatt or a Miller Lite or a Blue Moon, as we see.
Yeah, they really plug Blue Moon quite a bit.
Dude, both of them, that you see them both predominantly, again, in this every episode, really.
Yeah.
It's
funny, because I actually found myself looking this episode for the Jack bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And I saw it, and I was like, Jack.
Yeah, yep. I saw it, too. Gotta look for it every time. It's good stuff.
See, I don't see myself looking for it all the time, but for some reason today, I was like, oh, is it there? It's like, there it is.
I've been checking it every episode since we discovered it. Yeah.
It's amazing. I'm not gonna lie. I kind of want to get a bottle of Jack Daniels and then find a little red jacket to have it for collection purposes.
Honestly, you could probably find a little red jacket at like Build-A-Bear or something. I wouldn't be surprised.
Ooh,
right?
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if you.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to help me with this investment, my cash tag is cash tag JMade. One, please.
I think so. Yeah, JMAID and the number one.
And I will stop wallpapers and it'll be behind me every episode, just like How I Met Your Father.
Boom! There we go, folks. Speaking of How I Met Your Father, we are here to talk season 2, episode 16, The Jersey Connection. That's
316.
Right.
Booyah!
Sure. When we get there, we can do that. We didn't do that when we did the How I Met Your Mother one, did we?
I wasn't thinking about it.
I don't think we did. Oh, wait. No, we totally did. We made the joke about Robin Sparkle's 316.
Yes,
what was it? Because it was the Sandcastles episode.
It's the Sandcastles episode. We were talking about how we could totally do Austin shirts with that.
Yeah, it was a Sparkles 316 says, let's go to the mall. That's what like we had been like, joking about. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely.
I mean, we could also do a Daggers 316 that says, P.S. I love you.
Let's get it going. We got to rock these shirts, peeps.
We're going to rock it just like she rocks your body till Canada Day.
True. We're gonna set up a merch store. Let us know what you guys want to have. Get this rolling. Have nice Last Call McLaren shirts.
Do we get beer koozies with the Last Call logo on them?
Yes. See? That's thinking right there. We'll do this, folks. You let us know. All right. So this episode aired June 20th of 2023. Directed by, you want to guess, John?
Pete Fry.
Not today, sir.
God damn it. You set me up.
I did. This one was directed by Michael Shea, who actually worked as a first assistant director on the entire run of How I Met Your Mother.
Ooh, okay.
As well as on this show, he's the first assistant director, and he directed two other episodes. Or no, he directed one other episode of this show. He did season 2, episode 6, Universal Therapy.
Oh, okay.
But he also directed 4 episodes of How I Met Your Mother. He was one of the like 2 other people to direct How I Met Your Mother, and he did Intervention, Garbage Island, Disaster Averted, and The Fortress.
Okay, so really good episodes. Like,
yeah.
Really good episodes.
Yeah.
Especially Intervention, man. Like.
Oh, yeah, I love that one. That's coming up. That's season 4.
I mean, Quintervention.
It's coming up, man. Season 4. I'm excited for it. He also worked on shows like Men at Work, Young and Hungry, the School of Rock TV show, and That 90s Show.
You know, you'll be shocked to know I never checked out the School of Rock TV show.
I never did either. Yeah.
Wasn't that I wasn't interested in it. I mean, I love School of Rock. I just wasn't sure that the TV show would hold up to my expectations of the movie.
I get it. Everybody, hop on Twitter at LastCall, HIMYN, and let us know. Did you watch the School of Rock TV show? And if so, what were your thoughts? Love to know. Check us out. All right. So it was also written by Christopher Ensel, who is the one of the supervising producers on How I Met Your Father. And he wrote 2 other episodes. He wrote season 1, episode 5, The Good Mom. And he worked with Michael Shea on season 2, episode 6, Universal Therapy. So this is the second time that they've teamed up on this show as the director-writer combo.
Yeah.
And he also wrote several episodes of the hit show, The Good Place, which I love. I love that show. Anybody who has not watched that, including John, check it out.
So you say that these two guys are a 1-2 combo?
Boom, man. You got it. You got it. All right. So the summary for this. Okay. I'm going to preface this. I had to add a little bit to this summary.
Wait. I want you to read theirs first. Mm-hmm. And then read yours.
I just added something at the end. So I'll stop. Oh, okay. I'll stop. Before I say the little bit that I added. So their summary read, Ellen suspects something is up with Rachel. She and Sid do a stakeout. Sophie tracks an upset Jesse down after he wasn't invited to a co-worker's birthday party. And that's where they stopped.
Okay.
So I just added, Vale and Charlie go on a post-breakup date. That's all.
That's fair. I mean, that's a good overall summary.
Yeah. I thought that, you know, I was surprised that they didn't add anything in the summary about Vale and Charlie. I don't know if they were trying to not spoil something. I'm not 100% sure, but I feel like the way that I said it, there's zero spoiler. Like, really, like that's just part of the episode. They literally go on a post breakup date.
Go on a date.
There's nothing like, I feel like they could have added that and been fine, but that's like, because I get it from the fandom wiki page, which takes their summaries straight from like the Hulu description.
Okay.
So Hulu didn't add anything about Vale and Charlie, which I was surprised. I was like, okay. All right, so we're gonna get into the episode. Episode starts off, Sophie bursts into the bar. She's all excited. Well, I don't know if I necessarily say excited, but she's relieved that it is Friday. Because her first week of work, her first full 5-day week of work is officially done. And it's like, dude, you could tell she's never had a regular job.
100%. And I thought that same thing. I was like, man, if she's celebrating after 5 days, wait till she gets one of those weeks where, like, I got a full 6-day.
Yeah.
I got to pull some overtime.
I just love she's like, Sid, get me a cold one. TGIF, right, everybody?
Yeah.
Like,
she, am I right?
Am I right? Oh, man. He's like, yeah, it's your first 5-day week. Really? Like,
you can tell, like, Sid's kind of miffed about it, too, because, like, he doesn't get 5-day work week. He's always at work.
He's always working. And this is the point where I noticed lots of Miller Lite and Blue Moon just rolling around.
Yeah, I definitely noticed the Blue Moon here. Because there's a clear Blue Moon logo right in front of Sophie.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. So, both taps are visible. There's a Miller Lite and a Blue Moon tap, like, they at the bar at all times. Sophie has the draft of Blue Moon with the orange slice. Ellen is drinking a bottle of Blue Moon. And Jesse is drinking a bottle of Miller Lite.
So, obviously, they're really good sponsors to the show.
Yeah, man. And like you said, that label on like a labeled glass.
Yeah.
And it's right at the camera. All the labels are directly at the camera.
Wait, hold on 1 second. Keep talking about product placement.
Yeah.
And I will be right back. You'll laugh.
But I mean, there's a lot, like we've talked about before, how there have been a lot of the product placement for these specific beers. like when they went to that other bar in one of the other episodes, I remember mentioning that they had it also had some of the same beers and stuff, but it's every, I'm pretty sure Jesse always has a Miller Lite, like pretty every much time. Miller. Yeah. So
product placement.
Molson Canadian.
I'm gonna drink my Labatt Blue out of a Molson Canadian glass.
Dude, that is probably the most Canadian thing you have ever done. Now, if you were like rocking some freaking hockey or something, like wearing a hockey jersey or something, and I don't know, give me a Canadian band. We're listening to some Nickelback. They're Canadian, right?
Yeah,
I don't
Canadian.
Know. Yeah, there you go.
Could have said
Just don't turn the lights. Won't. Just don't turn the lights off.
Well, no, my lights are on. I was gonna make that joke, and I was like, "Oh, that's too much."
It's never too much on this show.
What is that band that sings the?
Crash Test Dummies.
Yeah, I was gonna say, could have been listening to the Crash Test Dummies. They're Canadian.
Hells yeah, man!
I couldn't remember their name, but I remembered the song. Yeah. I was like, "Josh will remember the band."
Oh yeah,
Crash Test Dummies. I'm gonna good drink stuff. Me some beer out of a pint glass. Like a sophisticated person.
There you go, folks. There you go. All right. So, as you know, they're sitting there talking about Sophie and her, you know, so hard first 5 days. A group of people walk in, and Jesse realizes these are all the teachers from his school that he knows.
Oh yeah.
And they're there for some sort of party or something, and apparently Jesse wasn't invited.
Dude, not at all.
Mm-mm. We get the return of Drew in this, which he makes up this real funny story about an orgy, like to try to cover for why they're there and Jesse's not invited, which I thought was really funny.
Listen, both of his covers both ways. Like when he's telling Jesse his cover for that, and then when he's trying to like act like he's not Jesse's friend at the end of everything. Fucking hilarious. Both ways.
Oh my god. Why don't you find another bar to suck in?
Well, and here's the thing that I thought about as that was happening.
I really hope it's the same thing I have written down. I really do.
Drew knew that was the bar that they hang out in.
Thank you, John.
So why would you fucking go there and not be like, hey, guys, we're probably going to run into Jesse.
Yeah, he knew that that's Sid's bar. Like,
he's
been there many times.
He's met the group many times.
Many times. And he knows that they hang out literally at that bar all the time.
All the time.
So, like, this was my first gripe about it. It's like, why? Why would they go there?
Yeah, I wasn't 100% sure about that one either. Like, I was like, okay, so they're going there, but they're going to bitch about him. Like,
It's like, we find out later that the birthday girl apparently frequents another bar enough to have a jacket from there. So why the fuck didn't they just go there?
Part of me almost feels like they were doing it just to spite him.
Maybe.
Like, we really don't like this guy. Let's go there and show him that we don't fucking care.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I thought it was kind of shitty that Sid overhears all of this going on and doesn't be like, hey, get the fuck out of my bar.
I feel like if Jesse had asked him to, he would have. But yeah, I mean, it's paying customers, bro code, dude.
I don't give a shit if they're paying customers. If I owned an establishment and a bunch of people came in and like fucking cold shouldered you like that, I'd be like, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we're closed for a private party. And they'd be like, what about all these people? Yeah, they're part of the private party. You're not. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, you know, I think that would have been great to see. Obviously, that's not the story that they were choosing to go with, but this story goes down some weird paths, man.
All these stories go down weird paths this episode.
I mean, I'll be honest. I think the most, like, the story that felt the most right is the Vale and Charlie stuff, which isn't even connected to any of this.
I know. And it's the same thing.
It's so weird, but yeah.
So which story do you want to start with?
Oh, we still got a little bit of stuff that I want to do before we split it. Okay. Because the stories start off together.
They do.
And then they split away. But yeah, so Jesse, you know, after all this happens, he's like, you know, I don't care about them. I got big plans anyways.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the way the group is just, I love Sid. He's like, yeah, those sound like some, that's, those sound like some great big plans that sound really real, man. You're so,
I mean, how that. Many times have you been, though, in all fairness, how many times have you personally been like, oh, yeah, I've got big plans tonight, and then sat on your couch and watched a movie or played video games or just, yeah, like, done nothing but sit in your underwear?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've definitely done that to get out of hanging out with random people.
Like, I literally did that a couple weekends ago.
I really don't like going out all that much, so
I'm like, do I anymore. Oh, but I mean, we've had our
plans, man. I got plans already. I wish I could.
My favorite one is when like you accidentally cut somebody off and they're like, oh, hey, would you be interested? And you're like, oh, no, I can't. Sorry, I'll be busy. And you're like, well, I didn't even tell you when. And you're like, oh, when is it? And they're like, oh, it's gonna be next weekend. Oh, yeah, man, I got
definitely busy then.
Yeah, I got these plans I can't get out of.
Yeah. So Jesse leaves, and then Ellen turns to Rachel, and she suggests, hey, let's go to a movie and all this, you know? She's like, we can sneak in our own food. We can, how about this, a whole rotisserie chicken?
Yeah, a whole chicken.
That got me thinking about an experience that we had when our friend Shazad.
It's funny, 'cause I was literally gonna be like, who sneaks a whole chicken in? Yep. And then I was like, I can't say that, though, because we do that.
Our friend Shazad, I mean, granted, we didn't sneak it in because I worked at a theater, obviously,
and we were close.
We did it after hours, but brought a whole bucket of KFC into that
and
joint.
And that wasn't a whole chicken. It was pieces.
Dude, that was more than a whole chicken. Come on. It's a whole bucket of chicken.
Listen, but it was in pieces.
That's true. That is true.
It was breasts and thighs. There was bones, but.
There's definitely bones. Rachel makes this like lame excuse that she's got like this dumb work thing. Oh, you'll hate it, you know, and you can tell right away something's up. And obviously Ellen realizes this too, but she thinks that Rachel's cheating on her. And so Sid, Sophie, and Ellen make a plan for stakeout,
and all Sophie wants is snacks.
Specifically, a giant tub of red vines.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, she doesn't say that she wants them, but she brings up the giant tubs.
But that's what she brings with her.
Yeah, which I thought was fucking crazy.
And I'm like, girl after my own heart right there.
Josh is like, Hillary Duff has never been hotter.
Uh-huh. Yep. So they head off after. They end up spotting Rachel and you know, they follow her. But I love Sid accidentally bumps into Sophie and knocks like a bunch of red vines out of her. She's like picking, like blowing them off, putting them back in the bucket. I'm like, New York City streets, no thank you. No. Those red vines are staying there. Yeah.
So here was my only issue with this. They followed her almost immediately. Mm-hmm. They weren't quiet and they were not that far behind her. How did she not realize it?
I agree. Like, how did she not notice them? Come on.
Like,
that was another issue. It's like, come on. How did she not notice them?
Like, I promise, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to shit on this episode for small things like that, but fucking pay attention to your writing.
I mean, I'm going to bring that stuff up. That doesn't mean I didn't enjoy the episode, but I'm still going to call it out.
Fair.
You know what I mean? We finally, at this point, after the whole thing with the red vines, we finally get to see future Sophie. It's the first point of the episode. She didn't start off the episode. And she does this funny, like, dun-dun-dun thing to reveal that they're going to New Jersey. And I gotta say, man, even in this small little scene, Kim Cattrall, she's fucking gold, man.
Yeah, but I mean, again, though, trashing New Jersey. That's the How I Met Your Mother thing right there.
Absolutely, man. Classic How I Met Your Mother.
I'm going to say this once, and I will try to be as polite about this as I can, but we all know New Jersey's New York. Fucking, it's our trash bin, man. It's a toilet. It's a cesspool.
There it is, folks.
It's an inbred swamp from Louisiana where fucking brother and a sister are banging.
Now, I think you're just talking about Florida. Now we have lost viewers in two states.
Oh, man.
Oh, well, you know, we still got...
Come back, I've got cold beer.
We still got the UK, Canada, and a few other European countries that listen to us. It's all good. So they follow Rachel into New Jersey, where they see her go into this apartment complex, and I noticed something right away. Sophie no longer has the bucket of red vines, meaning she finished off that bucket on the way there. That
I
entire
mean,
bucket.
I know somebody else who could do that, so I'm not
Yeah,
shocked.
but I'm a fat guy. Like, that's why I said Sophie is a woman after my own heart,
She
man.
goes to the gym.
She does, man. And if she can power through red vines like that, that's my kind
Red
of lady.
Rhymes.
Yeah, red rinds. I'm gonna stick to it, man. I'm Scooby-Doo, and those are red
Scooby-Doo,
rinds.
ruh-roh.
If she can power through those, that's my kind of lady right there. That's
Like
it. Yeah.
Zoink
So here's another thing that bothered me, okay? This next
Scoob.
thing. You see Rachel in the like right on the inside of the part in the doorway. You can see through the glass, big open
Yeah.
glass, okay? And Jesse walks by. So two things. Again, Rachel doesn't notice somebody that she's hung out with many times, just randomly, like she could have just looked right out the window and seen him. Two,
See, I can defend
Jesse,
that one though.
hold on, I'll let you get to that in a second. But two, Jesse just happens to be walking right down that exact same street
See,
at
that
that
one I can have
exact
issues with.
same moment that they're standing there. Come
That
on.
one I can agree with. But think about it this way, because we've all walked past houses at night. You can see in, but you can't see out usually.
That's
The
fair.
light
That's
reflection on
fair.
the window usually stops it, unless you're like right up against the window, which they're not.
Yeah.
So
Plus,
that one I can
he like
dispute.
had a hat on and stuff. Like, I can let that one pass, but the coincidence of Jesse being in that exact
Oh,
in
yeah. No,
exact
that one
spot.
was an extreme coincidence because all it did was give Sophie a reason to be like, okay, well, I'm gonna go follow him, and then
Yeah.
we get a breakdown into three fucking stories again.
Yes, we do. So we could either cover Ellen and Sid, Sophie and Jesse, or Vale and Charlie, who we haven't
Well,
talked
since
about yet.
we're already here and already talking about Rachel in the apartment, let's just finish the Sid and Ellen.
Okay, we'll do Sid and Ellen. So they see Rachel meet up with some random woman who
Some rando woman.
they hug, and then they
Which,
go upstairs into an
I was
apartment.
thinking about this too. Unless Rachel really knows this woman, like, who hugs the realtor?
Maybe she's just a real friendly person. You know, she's a hugger kind of,
I mean,
I don't know.
it could be, but I mean, it just,
Either that or they've been in contact a lot trying to sort
I
this whole thing
still
out.
feel like a hug in 2023 to a realtor is very,
Maybe.
it's pushing the boundaries. It was purposely done to fuel the, she's
Yes.
cheating on me, but it's so, it was one of the couple of things I had an issue with because I'm like, I see you on a semi-regular basis. I don't hug you every time.
That's fair.
And your family, bro. Like, I'm not gonna be like, oh, bro, oh my God, yeah. So running into a random person on the street, I'm not gonna be like, let me hug this person.
I get it. Some people are like that, but yeah, I think it was definitely done more just to fuel
Yeah,
Ellen's,
the
thought process.
speculations.
So Ellen and Sid follow them upstairs and sneak into this apartment.
Into the apartment. Which I love when they're outside the door and they're talking about like putting your ear to it and listening in. And
Yeah.
she's like, "Oh, they could be right there. I don't want to be seen."
So
And
here was a thing that I thought. They say that this is an apartment complex. They watched them leave. Obviously there's a decent delay between them and
how
Sid
did
and
they know what
Ellen.
apartment she went to?
How did they know which apartment it was? Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
Yeah.
Because I
They
was
said.
like, they probably got on an elevator, so you would at least be able to guess the floor they went to. But yeah, how did you get know like where they went specifically?
Yeah, unless they were able to like follow them just close enough to see them go in right beforehand, but I feel like that's
That's stretching it.
improbable. Yeah, that's stretching it. There's a lot of coincidental type of things, and it's the writing is just like, oh, it just happened to work out in
Yeah.
a lot of aspects when it
I mean,
comes
that
to these
happens a
types of
lot on
things.
TV shows
I
anyway.
know.
And you're not supposed to think about it, but when you're watching a show... It just seems like
there's a lot of them in this one.
Oh, and that's it. In this episode specifically, there are a lot of that happens where I'm like, how?
Normally, they wouldn't bother me, because like a couple of them here and there, okay, it's fine. That's just part of storytelling, you know? But to have this many, it's like, well, maybe this story needed to be fleshed out better then.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. But yeah, so we're going to keep talking. We got they end up in the apartment and they find a lease agreement on the counter.
Which I thought was also very weird to just be laying there and that doesn't
surprise me. Like when you're stuff like that, the realtors, they lay out the paperwork and stuff like that, because nobody else is supposed to be there. It's just them. They lay it out on the surface so you can read it. You can sign it on a hard surface. Yeah, that wasn't shocking for me. But yeah, they find out Rachel's looking for a new apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Which she's like, Ellen's just kind of like, oh, my God, what?
She doesn't quite understand. But then they overhear, like they hide because they hear them coming. They overhear Rachel say that she needs space from Ellen.
Oh, yeah.
And that kind of throws Ellen for a bit of a loop, you know.
Need some space without you in it.
Yeah. And so they try to get out of the apartment. And this is another thing. We're like, what? Why? Why are they crab walking?
Yeah, I thought that too. Like, why not just run for the door? Like, just think about it this way.
Well, running would be really loud.
Yeah, but even think about it this way, though. Even if they were heard, they would have probably at least gotten out of the apartment.
I think if they ran, they would have been seen.
What about like a brisk walk, then?
I feel like out of the periphery, they'd have seen figures standing up. That's why I think they tried to keep low. But why didn't they just crawl on their hands and knees?
That, too.
It's more about why the crab walk. Like,
fair.
The only thing I could think of is, like it... In universe, like in their heads, it's like they want to be able to keep an eye on them, so they're crab walking. But like that ain't gonna do you any good, because if you see them, they're seeing you.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you're facing them or not. For the episode, it's so that we can see their faces. That's really all it is, you know. But yeah, it seems like a weird choice for the crab walking thing.
Like I said, me personally, I'd have ran for it. Because as long as you could have gotten out the door, they would have just thought some rando walked into an open apartment.
You know what I would have done? I would have snuck around the edge, grabbed like something out of my something. Like if you had like a penny on you or something, and thrown it down the hallway so it would have made noise, right?
Yeah.
And they would have been like, what was that? And they'd go down the hallway and then you get out the door.
Well, here's the other question. They hid behind the island in the kitchen where the paperwork was.
Yeah.
Why not go towards the bathroom or the other bedroom that was clearly over there?
Well, she was freaking out. She was like, oh, where do we hide? Where do I can hide in the fridge.
Which also fucking weird choice.
She's like, I might die, but she won't know that I'm here until later on when she opens the fridge. But then at least I'll be fresh.
Yeah, I'll be fresh. And I'm like, no, you won't.
Like, oh, my God. Well, I mean, she's in the fridge. Technically, she will be fresh. Yeah, kind of. She won't be rotting because she'll be in the refrigerator. But, like, I'm just like, Ellen, oh, my goodness. Like, what are you doing?
Weird choice.
They end up there. It was a very weird choice. And so, like I said, they get caught. And I love Sid and the realtor.
Oh my God, the fake phone calls. The
fake phone call. I love Sid's like, oh, I'm getting a call. I gotta step outside. And then the realtor's like, oh yeah, I too am getting a fake phone call.
Yeah, and I love that she announces that it's fake though, because like clearly we all knew Sid's was fake.
Yeah.
And she's like, yes, I too am getting a fake phone call that I must take, and goes running. And I'm like, brilliant.
Yeah.
Because next time I have to do that, I've decided I'm pulling a her. I'm at that point where I just don't give a shit what I say to people anymore. Yeah. So if I've got to be like, oh, you know what? Man, I'm getting a fake phone call. Let me take this. Hello? Yeah. I gotta take this call.
Stop. And it's not even your phone. It's like you just like use your hand.
Oh, my God. Even better. I'll be like, hold on 1 second. No, dude, I gotta take this. Sorry. Hello? It's really important. I'll catch you later. And just walk away from the person. And be like, yeah, no, it's cool. I can talk. What's up?
I'm not doing anything important.
I'm not doing anything important.
Oh, dude, that would be hilarious. So Rachel and Ellen kind of start talking. They kind of get into all this stuff. And Rachel reveals that apparently living next to Ellen is a lot. And I'm like,
the examples they give us make it backed up at least to where I could be like, I get it.
But I get it. But the thing about it is, if she's feeling that way, it's not about living next to her. It's about the relationship.
Yeah,
it's about her.
Well, that's what Ellen tells her essentially. Yeah.
And it's like she's obviously too afraid to just end the relationship. Instead, she's going out of her way to find. I think what was going to happen is she was going to get this new apartment, get settled, and then end things. Because if she ended things while still living there, it would have been too awkward.
I could see that. Or at least try to salvage the relationship, but without telling Ellen that she'd move. Yeah. And that wouldn't have done any good.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, let me break it down to you like this. You are over 18, which legally makes you an adult. Unless you're watching this podcast and you're not over 18. And in that case, you shouldn't be watching something that deals with a bar. But thank you for your viewership. We love you anyway. But ladies and gentlemen, if you are over 18, that makes you a legal adult, which means you know how to use the thing that's in the center of your face, which is called a fucking mouth. Learn how to use your words as an adult. And if you're not in a happy relationship, clearly find a nice way to say to your partner, I am not happy right now. We should separate and work on ourselves.
It's fair.
That is a very hurtful thing to hear, but it is easier to hear it once instead of trying to work it out later on down the road and just realizing one day you don't fucking care about somebody and ruining their entire fucking life.
It's true.
Don't be a piece of trash. This has been a public service announcement.
It's true. Or it's like, if you're having issues, if something is bothering you about the person you're with, talk to them about it. Don't let it grow into something so big that you need to move to New Jersey. You need to move out of state.
Yeah, stay out of the toilet.
Listen,
do not be a Mentos in a bottle of Coca-Cola and somebody's trying to put the lid back on. We all know that ends horribly. You're probably going to put someone's eye out. Grandma might die.
Just like the champagne cork.
But listen, I mean, seriously, though. Be an adult. Learn to use your words.
It's true. So they get into this whole thing, and you know, Ellen tells her, like, you need to decide if you can take me as I am or not.
Yep.
And Rachel or Ellen comes out of the apartment and tells Sid that they broke up.
And well, she doesn't actually say that they broke up though, but that's what I'm getting from.
No, that I think she says it's over or something like that, but she does say.
Didn't she actually say it? Because, like, the way I took it was, like, they're there, but I don't know.
No,
I'm assuming it was a breakup.
I don't remember the exact words, but, she says they broke up.
I love how Sid's like, I've been holding on to this all night, and now it seems like you need this.
Yeah.
Sophie texted me that Jesse's cover singer.
Parody singer.
And he fucking plays this video that we don't get to see.
Yeah.
Oh, but oh my God.
Well, I mean, we saw it though, because he only sang one song.
I know.
So we do see it.
I
we know exactly.
The video though.
Yeah, it would have been funny to see it again. But yeah, so that's how that all wraps up. And now we can talk about, if you want, we can talk about the Sophie and Jesse part. Or do you want to wait? Maybe put people on the edge of suspense.
Let's make them wait. Oh, let's talk about Val and Charlie.
There it is. All right.
Decided to go on an after, like, Charlie busts into the apartment. He's like, you need to get dressed. We have a date.
Yep.
And she's like, what?
And he have a reservation.
That they have a reservation for some child prodigy chef in amazing new restaurant.
Apparently
he won some, like, contest. It's like,
yes, big kid chef.
Yeah, big kid chef, which is kind of like Hell's Kitchen Jr.
Yeah, one of those.
This kid won this thing. He's opened up a restaurant locally, and they've got reservations. What's going to happen? Dun, dun, dun. Find out after this conclusion.
Find out after these words from our sponsors. All right.
So they go to this date. That was a weird break, but whatever. They go to this date, and I'm like, oh, this is only going to be bad. The moment they walk in, you can see that this is a bougie, romantic fucking place where, like, everything's romantically lit. and the tables, all of everybody's all close, and there's flowers, and people are kissing, and I'm like, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
I'm like, they've done a very good job at steering clear of everything, and mm-hmm. I mean, even before they do this, they reference, like, they've hung out a bunch of times since the breakup.
Dude, I love this because he says that. He's like, we've hung out a bunch of times, you know, just the two of us, and it hasn't resulted in sex. And it cuts away to a blank cutaway. Yep. And I'm like, and he's like, oh, I guess we haven't. And I was like, that was fucking brilliant.
Brilliant. Yeah.
It was so good. The blank cutaway. I was like, holy shit, that was amazing. Awesome.
It was definitely better than the alternative where, like, every time, like, they show them in bed a bunch of times, and they're like, oh, I can't believe we did that. No, yeah. I can't believe. I love the black screen. I was like, fucking kudos.
Yeah, it was great.
But, yeah, so they sit down thinking, this isn't going to be nothing. We can get through this as friends and not end up in bed together.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, maybe they can. I'm like, I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. And then the maitre d' comes over, the waiter, and he's like...
Yeah, I think he's the waiter.
Yeah, I like to say maitre d'. Shut up.
I think that might be something different.
Though, yeah, it's kind of like a host.
Yeah.
So he comes over, though, and he's like, oh, you know, our dish tonight is this single piece of spaghetti.
Yeah, it's compliments of the chef, and yeah, it's... what did he call it?
Inspired by Ladies in the Tramp.
A stretched bucatini or something like that.
Yeah, like that. And essentially it's just one piece of spaghetti with a dollop of sauce on the plate.
Yeah.
And they don't get a fork or a knife. They got to eat it and wind it down like in Lady in the Tramp. And the end goal is to have a Lady in the Tramp inspired moment. And they have to have a shared moment and kiss.
Yeah.
But ladies and gentlemen.
Which, I'll be honest. I think that's a brilliant dish, because like they're not paying for it. This is all as compliments of the chef. It's just they bring everybody this thing.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of brilliant.
I mean, you're not wrong. So yeah. Wait. To reference another show, what you're saying is it's brilliant, Jimmy.
Brilliant, Jimmy. I like it. It is, man.
Sorry, that's gonna be my new thing. It's brilliant, Jimmy.
but yeah, I thought that wrong. Was really
a good way to get that. Like,
it's really clever.
Yeah, I mean, how much does pasta really cost? It's fucking dirt cheap. Yeah. You're using one strand per table?
One piece, man. I mean, you probably could do your entire night of customers with what you would normally give just on one plate of pasta.
I mean, maybe a few, depending on how busy you are. But maybe. I mean, that's not... I mean, you're wrong, though.
I guess it depends on how much they serve.
I guess. And the nice thing about pasta is you can par cook a shit ton of it to where it's like al dente. So you don't need a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And then you can keep it in like a hotel pan right next to the fucking stove. Throw it in some hot water really quick to finish it off and serve it in a matter of minutes.
Oh, yeah.
And like you said, even if they say you serve 200 people that night, that's 200 pieces of spaghetti. That's roughly probably 30 to 40 plates. Roughly, depending on how much of a spaghetti you serve.
I feel like there's a lot more spaghetti on a plate than what you're saying.
I mean, maybe. I'm trying. I don't know. I'm going for portion control.
I know, but if it's 40, that's 5 noodles per plate. If it's 200. That's why I'm saying.
That's fair.
You're probably looking at 5 to maybe 10 at the most, depending on the portion size.
Fair.
Yeah, but that's not very many plates of pasta to just give away for free. It's, you
know, no,
it's
not
just
really.
The noodles.
Not when
and
it's
just
cheap.
The noodles. It's not the sauce, really, because there's only a small amount.
I was going to say, it's probably like a tablespoon, if anything.
Yeah.
Just scalloped on there, and then it was like garnished. It looked like it was like either parsley leaf or mint leaf or something.
But in general, I think it's a really cool idea. But
I mean, and it's unique. There's not any, I mean, even for the show to have came up with that, that's unique because I've never seen that done anywhere.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if somebody in the writer's room has experienced this before.
Oh, man.
Or if it was just an idea that they had, you know.
Like, maybe they wanted to open a restaurant at one point and that was one of their, like, coup de grace.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be cool.
Fair.
I like it. Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah, So they go to eat this noodle and continue.
Yeah, so they go to eat this meal and they do their best at eating and not having a romantic moment. And as they're eating down their piece of spaghetti, they get, I mean, like face to face.
Yeah.
And she chomps it out of his mouth. Yeah. And I was like, damn, Val. And she gives him this look like, I could fucking come across this table right now and mount you.
But see, I didn't take it that way. I took it as she did that because she knew how close she was. And she's like, I got to stop.
Exactly, though. But she was close to, like, yeah. I could jump across this table. Well, yeah.
As they still had it in their mouth, yes.
Oh, yeah.
But once she bit, no, she was like, oh, got it.
So I love that right here they decide, we got to get out of here. This place is too romantic for us.
All they've had was a noodle.
And they go, I'm pretty sure, because that's compliments to the chef, they're going to dine or ditch.
I mean, essentially, because they didn't get any drinks or anything yet either, right?
We don't see them order drinks, but I'm sure that water at a restaurant like that's not free.
I don't know. Yeah, that I don't know.
But, I mean, either way, they go to the host and they're like, listen, it wasn't you, it was us. We can't be in this situation. We're trying to just be friends. We're leaving. And he's like, whatever, guys. I'm not your waiter anymore. Have a great night. And as they go to leave, they hear a child crying.
Yes.
And at this point, I'm like, okay, I know it's the chef crying.
Yeah.
Like, that was clearly set up as, like, the kid. But I'm like, who the fuck cares? Get out of that restaurant before something happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, if he's crying because of something...
Well, Charlie did want to go.
Oh, yeah, I know. And I would have been like, okay, you want to go take care of the kid? Have a great night. I'm out.
Yeah, but Charlie wouldn't just leave her there.
No, but this also shows that Charlie's coming around on kids. That's why they did this.
Yeah.
He's gung-ho that...
Well, I don't know if he's coming around on kids. I think it's just he would do pretty almost anything for her.
That makes that so much sweeter.
Yeah. Like, he hung around, because, like, they find the kid, he's, like, crying underneath a beverage cart.
Yeah, which I thought was great, because only kids can fit in something like that.
Yeah.
If you've worked in the restaurant industry, well, I don't know why I slurred on that, I'm sorry. If
you've
worked in the restaurant industry, you know that if you're crying at work, you're in the mop closet, or you're in the pantry. Or the walk-in cooler.
The cooler, yeah, I was going to say. Definitely had that happen.
You ain't hiding under a beverage cart.
Don't do it in the freezer, folks. You don't want frozen tears.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, you also,
just from personal experience, not that it happened to me, it happened to a dishwasher colleague. If you shit your pants on a regular basis, bring another pair of pants to work.
Oh, dude, we have now brought that story up. I'm pretty sure two in a row, because I'm pretty sure it was last episode.
Oh, fuck, goodness. Riley.
But so they find this kid, and Vale tries to talk to him, but he's like,
but he doesn't want to talk to her, yeah.
I can't talk to you, but I can talk to him.
And he points. Which I was like, that's a weird thing to say as a, like, 14-year-old.
Well, as soon as he said it, I was like, oh, this is going to be girl problems.
Yeah, I mean, I figured as much.
So the kid talks to Charlie about how he invited his crush to the restaurant, and she ditched him for some other kid's party. And I'm like, yeah, been there. Definitely been there.
Dude, do you remember? I'm gonna break one of our rules. I'm going to go back. I'm going to tell a quick story. We're not going to Patreon this one. I'm going to give the fans a taste into our past.
You're going to give them a one long bucatini.
No, I'm going to break this down into segments, and I'm going to make them want more. I'm going to make them reach out to us. You ready for this?
Okay.
Because you're going to get all these references, or at least most of them, and it's going to make them want more of this story. Follow me. Townsend Street.
Yep.
Double-sided tape recorder.
Oh, yeah.
Me and you planning a huge party.
Oh, yeah. Nobody shows up. It was specifically a dinner. But yes.
Oh, it was a dinner.
It was
specifically for you and one other person.
Yep.
And they didn't show up.
You're right. No, I remember.
Kind enough to at least give a first name.
Her name was Tori.
It was.
Bitch. Yeah. Nah, I don't hold any. I don't hold any grudge on that.
High school stupidity.
Dude, that was fuck, man. 20. About 20, So 23, I don't know. It was.
Yeah, it was stupid. If you want to hear the whole story, though, jump on over at Patreon. If we hooked you, like Blinding the Marlin hooked you, you hit us up on Patreon. We'll tell you the story.
There you go, folks. There you go. All right. So, you know, Charlie, he ends up helping this kid out. He tells him, you know, this sweet story about, you know, himself and how when he was younger, he was the same. And, you know, he was an awkward kid when he was younger.
Yeah. And the kid's like, I can see that.
Yeah, I can see that.
I was like, fuck you. Right there, I'd have been like, fuck you, kid. You're on your own.
Peace. Right? Yep. Peace out, sucker. But yeah, and you can see that Vale sees this, like, glimmer of hope for them, you know? And so they leave, and as they're walking down the street, Vale brings up the whole him not wanting kids and her wanting kids thing, which was the whole reason that they ended things in the first place. And, you know, he's obviously still afraid of screwing up some kid's life the way that he perceives that his was screwed up, even though he's living a good life now.
It's a great life.
You know, but he went through a bad childhood, which I get, you know, absolutely. Listen,
anybody who's been through something like that always feels like they're a fuck up.
It's true. Yeah, it's very true. But Vale's like, you know, those moments that he's talking about, you know, how he said, you know, he's scared of all these moments that you have to be responsible for this other human being. And she's like, these are those moments that she wants. She wants to be able to make them the best that she possibly can, you know. Yeah. And that's why she wants kids, but he hasn't changed his mind, you know. And, you know, they say goodnight, and Vale gets in her Uber and heads home. And it got me thinking, man, this situation is almost just like her parents. We learned that two episodes ago.
Yeah.
That her dad wanted more kids and her mom didn't.
Well, it's weird too, because I remember a different TV show doing a very similar story to somebody not wanting kids, but the other person wanted kids and they weren't ready for it. But I can't remember the show. So,
I mean, I'm sure it's happened on lots of shows.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. It's probably one of those tropes, but yeah.
But yeah, so like we learned this whole thing about Vale's parents, and they had to make a choice. One of them had to make a choice. And her dad chose to not have more kids. And it makes me wonder, are we going to see that similar situation?
But play out in reverse, where maybe they all decide she can go without kids?
Well, that's how it played out with her parents. Her dad decided it's okay that they don't have more kids.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. Val's dad decided he didn't want more kids.
No, he wanted kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he decided for her mother,
yeah,
that he would be okay with it. He would choose her.
Yeah.
And I so mean, it's will one of them make a choice? And I also, it made me wonder, does Vale know this story about her parents? Because it's Sid who gets told this.
No, because they tell him not to tell her.
Yeah. So then I wonder, will Sid tell one of them? Maybe he'll tell Charlie the story.
I was going to say, I could see him telling Charlie at some point. Kind of like how
Charlie will go and talk to her parents, and maybe that will change his mind. I don't know. Well,
think about it in the How I Met Your Mother aspect, where Robin finds out in like season, it's either 6 or 7, and she can't have kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then it's during the time where she's dating. It's after where she dates Barney.
Yeah.
No, it's during the time where she's dating Barney. And he makes a comment about kids. And she's like, oh, I can't have kids. I found out that. And he gives her the big hug. It doesn't even faze him at that point. He's just like, I'm so sorry. Sometimes all it takes is finding something small out to change somebody's opinion.
Yeah.
So maybe it could be the catalyst Charlie needs to change his mind and be like, you know, I love her enough to, like, be scared.
Yeah, I'm really invested in this story with them, you know? It's the Vale and Charlie, and then, the Sid and Hannah, those two stories, I'm like, I really want to see what happens, because these are two well done stories that they're going with so far.
Well done stories.
It's really some interesting stuff going on. And I really do hope that her parents become involved somehow. Like that story, that knowledge, for one of them at least.
Oh, yeah.
To help them. Because one of them needs to make a choice. If they both truly love one another, one of them needs to make a choice.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. So, all right.
Which brings us to Jesse.
Yep, it brings us to Sophie and Jesse.
Well, I mean, this is Jesse's story. Sophie just happens to partake in it.
That's true. But it's still... Because Sophie is the one who helps him in the end. I know.
But Jesse being butthurt about his whole... Not invited to hang out at somebody celebrating their birthday who had plans anyway. Turns out to actually have real plans.
But it's not just anybody. And I don't think he had plans, necessarily.
No, he was totally going to that bar.
I mean, he might have been.
He would have blown that bar off for other plans, but he was totally planning on going there.
That's fair. Okay.
And yeah, so it's a stupid coworker pisses him off. He decides to go blow off some steam. And it turns out Jesse's been going to this bar for weeks and singing these parody songs that he's writing about annoying coworkers.
Dude, it made me think of you. The parody song part. And I'm like, I could totally see John doing blow off steam parody songs. I could totally see that.
So is it bad that I have started to write a song about one of the guys that I work with who unloads trucks, but not in a blow off steam, I hate him kind of way. It's I feel bad for him and he's constantly unloading trucks. That's his job all night. He unloads semi truck after semi truck after semi truck. So I took the song Your Love by the Outfield and I changed it to Brucey unloads the trucks. Here they come again. It's never over. He'll unload it every shift.
Oh, man. That's funny.
So, you know.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. But yeah.
So, I do these stupid things where I take songs and I always make fun of them or I write little stupid jingles. I'm totally a Marshall / Jesse in that instance.
Yeah. Yeah. You do it in the vein of like Weird Al, you know, mm-hmm. which makes sense. Yeah. But, so he sings a song, man. And it was funny, too,
because I instantly realized, I was like, wow. I'm like, he's doing, it's Sugar Ray.
Oh, yeah. He says, any Sugar Ray heads in the house? Yeah, yeah. Something like that, Sugar Ray fans in the house?
And I was like, wow. I was like, there's the 2000s getting a nice little nod.
Yeah. But, okay, so maybe this was just me. But I assumed he could sing.
I mean, I think he can.
I never thought about it, but I obviously he can't. I mean, you hear this. He can't sing. So then he must just be like the songwriter and he can play guitar and stuff. Obviously, it was Meredith who was the singer of the two.
But I thought he had a part in her song.
I don't know. I don't remember if he did or not, but I'm just like, apparently he's not a singer.
I mean,
he can do other things. He ain't a singer, man.
This makes me laugh because yes, in this instance, I'm like, man, I could see me doing this as well. And I was like, but he's funny. He's like singing Sugar Ray. And the song was, oh my God. It's Every Morning.
Oh, yeah, the Sugar Ray song, yes.
Candle hanging from the corner. And I'm like, out of all the Sugar Ray songs, you couldn't have even picked, like, an upbeat one? You picked that one?
It's the one that it worked for him. I don't know.
What is your favorite Sugar Ray song?
Oh, I'm so bad with song titles. What are can you remember what the other one?
Well, there's Every Morning.
Yeah, there was most the big one that he did. Fly. Is it Fly?
Oh,
is
I just want to fly.
Yeah, that one. But the one with Super, I think his name is Super Cat?
It's the one that they did like right after.
Where he does like the rap in the midst of it, like, raps himself in that version of Fly. Because there's two versions of Fly. There's a version with him and without him. The version with him, that's the version that I like.
Well, it's weird that you say that too, because did you know that there is a Shania Twain song called Party for Two, and she recorded two different versions of it. Okay. There's a country version that she does with a guy named Billy Currington. And then she does her pop version, and she uses Mark McGrath.
Interesting.
I mean, the video and everything is shot, because there's two different videos in everything, because it was during that time where, like, music videos were huge.
Dude, man.
Both videos are the exact same. It's just literally, like, Mark McGrath's in one, Billy Currington's in one.
Huh.
But, like, the song is clearly, like, recorded different because it's different versions. And I'm like, man, okay. Huh. But my favorite Sugar Ray song is the one where they're in the bowling alley.
Oh, yeah. What is that song? I remember that video, though. Like, I can picture that video in my head. Yeah.
Sugar Plum, baby, don't say a word. Every morning, and I'm Sugar Plum, baby, don't say a word. She always writes the wrong.
Well, yeah, isn't that Every Morning?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God, it's the one that he's parodying.
Yeah, it's literally the one he's
parodying. Oh, my God, I just thought of it. It's even funnier.
Well, see, now you have a new appreciation for Jesse's song. Yeah, you do. Yeah. I loved the bartender at this bar.
Yes.
He's like, Soapy's up. He's like, oh, no, what's happening? He's like, oh, it's just some guy sucking.
Some guy sucking. This guy's, like, I was like, okay.
He's obviously been there, like, all the time.
He's been there a few times. And, like, every time it's, like, bad. Yeah. And, like, they show at one point during, like, them going over this whole thing, they show a couple of, like, his parodies that, like, he's done. And I was like,
yeah, they he did a Mambo No. 5 parody. Yeah.
My personal opinion was they missed a great opportunity for a parody song. And I was like, I don't know how, but I would have turned We Didn't Start the Fire into a Complaining About My Coworker song.
Okay.
Like for me, for work, it'd be like, oh, RJ's always on a break, Andy's always loading trucks, Brucey is unloading them, and I am over here. But yeah, and then it's like, we work at the Regal, we are always working, we're always moving.
Sure.
But he could have trashed his fucking coworkers with that.
He could have.
I mean, he's literally like, someone is a louchewer, this person and their flowers.
Something, yeah, he could have done something with it.
I hate all my workers. These teachers suck. They can all get fucked.
See, if he was swearing, that would make them... He could have swore. They could swear on this show.
That's what I'm saying. It's a Hulu show. They could have swore.
Yeah, man. That would have been dope. I would have been down for that.
And now everybody watching this has gotten a taste of me writing songs off the top of my head. Oh, fuck. It's a twofer.
It is a twofer, man.
All I got to say is I understand having an outlet to deal with a situation like work that upsets you. Did he not see the people, though, sitting there? Like, did you not again see your coworkers sitting at tables?
Yeah, I mean, well, I think it was just her.
I mean, even then, though, did he not see her? Because it was a small bar.
She was up at the bar, and he's just in his zone. You know what I mean? I'm just saying,
it's not Little Canada.
That's true, but yeah, I don't know. Fucking Jesse.
Although, I did think it would have been funny and a really good chance to have poked fun at How I Met Your Mother if they would have had him write a parody song to We Didn't Go, or Everybody Go to the Mall.
That would have been awesome.
Like, let's go to the mall.
Let's go to the mall.
And he's like, you know, like, I don't know. We're teaching every day. Like, I got nothing for that one. They're not all winners, ladies and gentlemen, okay? It's hard being a songwriter. You wouldn't understand.
Somebody messages us. They're like, I am a songwriter. And it's definitely easier than that.
Even better. They're like, I am a songwriter. You're fucking on point.
I mean, maybe. So while there, Sophie discovers that the name of this bar is St. Freddy's. And this is where we find out that Melanie, the woman who was having the birthday party at Pemberton's, was apparently wearing a jacket that had the bar's name on it, because Sophie saw a muscular leprechaun that she got turned on by.
That leaves a whole nother conversation to be had, but you know.
Oh, yeah. That's a whole nother road to go down.
If you were going to describe Melanie as your coworker, how would you describe her to somebody?
Like, how would I describe the person in the show?
Personality. Yeah, yeah. I have sign language for how I like to describe her.
She's kind of a shitty person. I don't know.
I was thinking more of a...
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I can see that.
Apparently, she's a loud chewer.
Yeah. No, she's a... Well, maybe. Did they say loud chewer? I know he says that she's a like a sloppy sneezer.
Oh, no, that's what it was. She was a sneezer.
Yeah.
Because she makes a comment about that, how she's thinking about getting a weird hairless cat because of him.
Yeah. Sloppy sneezer, man. So, like, they go back to Pemberton's after all this so they could talk to the teachers. And Sophie recommends that they roast Jesse.
Oh, yeah. You
know? Which, even before that, though, Sophie gets roasted, which I thought was kind
of
hilarious.
She gets roasted a couple times.
Yeah, because she for dumping Drew for Jesse and then leaving Jesse. So it wasn't even a good cheating is what Melanie Dude, said. And I'm like, oh, shit.
Like, they fucking just, hit it.
She just fucking rocked her ass right there.
Is it wrong, though?
No. I mean, from their perspective, especially because they're friends with Drew.
Yeah, like, yeah, of course. You always take your friend's side.
Yeah, so I get it. And that's when she confirms that, yeah, she heard Jesse's song and told everybody about it. And so they do a roast. And apparently Jesse puts his whole mouth around the water fountain spot.
Yeah, but his reason for it is, like, cringe.
Yeah, but it made me think of Parks and Rec. Do you remember that episode? Yeah,
Andy.
Yeah, where they're trying to figure out a way to stop. Apparently everybody in town does it. But Andy, they show specifically doing it. And that's instantly what I thought of. I'm like, that's so gross.
Here's my thing. Before we get to them, like, having their moment, before they start roasting him, they each go around talking about, like, things that Drew or Jesse had made fun of them for. Oh, and there's the one guy sitting next to Drew who's like, you said I look like so-and-so.
And Dowd.
I don't even know who that is. And Drew is quick to be like, oh, so-and-so, The Handmaid's Tale? And he goes, oh, I love that show. And then he's like, oh.
Oh. Like he realizes that he's right, yeah.
Yeah, it was just like.
You know. I don't like that guy for the simple fact that he pronounces it apricot.
Dude, I thought the same, but not that I didn't like him, but I'm like, who pronounces it apricot? The same person who goes to a stand and gets a bagel or bagel.
A bagel.
I can't even say it without like.
A bagel, like, and, bagel. And a glass of milk.
Some Seagrams.
A glass of milk. A bagel and some apricots. Yeah.
Oh my god. So, but, quick side story of a side story. Had a fucking hilarious moment the other day where I was laughing so hard that I was gonna catch my breath because somebody said avocados and I heard avocados and went to avocados of law, and then I was like, avocados at law, and I was like, Daredevil, and just started laughing so hard that I couldn't catch my breath.
Oh, that's funny. That's good stuff. All right, so Drew makes fun of Jesse because apparently he found Jesse's survivor application
because he knows his printer.
Yeah, but apparently Jesse put that he knows how to use all the parts of a coconut, and that's specifically what he's being made fun of for.
Is that really a bad reason though to?
I mean, that's not even what Jesse says. He's like, oh, yeah, make fun of me for knowing how to utilize, I think, what does he say, like, God's most versatile tree nut?
Versatile nut. And I'm like, huh.
I'm just like, okay.
I always forget that the coconut is technically a nut until somebody really wants to debate it. And I'm like, but it has milk in it.
I mean, sure. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how it all works, man. I try not to think about it because cucumbers and tomatoes are fruit, technically.
I know, and that always gets me, too, because when we were growing up, we learned that they were vegetables.
Cucumbers and tomatoes? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird. I don't like it.
And I'm always just like, what the fuck, people? Can't we just have one thing that stays the way it's supposed to? Pluto's a planet. A cucumber and a tomato are freaking vegetables.
You called it a tomato.
A tomato. Oh.
Oh, goodness. Yes. Anyways, so after all the roasting, they agree to start fresh with Jesse. Yeah. They even invite him to the birthday party, which was cool. But not Sophie. She doesn't get an invite.
Dude, they fucking, they're like, no, not you.
No, you're not invited. She's like, oh. And I love Jess, because like when she says, she's like, you're not invited. They pan back over to Sophie and Jesse, and Sophie's like, but Jesse's like, like he's got his hands on his face. He's like, oh, shit.
Like, what I thought would have been really funny is if he would have been like, I really need this. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been like a great addition where he's like, oh God, oh shit. And he's like, but I'm gonna hang out with them. I'll see you later.
Yeah.
And then I'm like
but you know, Sophie, she understands. She goes to head out. But as she does, one of the women from the party, whose name is Parker, because they say it at the very beginning. I didn't catch it the first time around. I didn't even catch that she had a name until I watched it again.
Okay.
She walks up to Jesse, and they start chatting or whatever. Parker, played by Megan Rath, from the shows Being Human, Hawaii Five-0, Supergirl, and New Girl. Yeah.
That's where I know her from, is Supergirl.
You should know her from New Girl. You've watched that whole show. She was Coach's girlfriend that he moves away with.
Oh, that's her too!
Yeah.
Oh my God, yes!
The cellist. Yeah, buddy.
You know, what dating a chalice is always, but never mind. We'll keep it clean to end the show.
So, like, real quick, as soon as I saw her there, I was like, she's going to become a bigger part of this show.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's an actress who, like, I've seen a lot of, and they do that a lot. They'll pull somebody who's, like, recognizable to kind of let you know they're going to be important.
You know, if I was ever going to psych somebody out by thinking that I was going to do that, you know who I would cast to be that person? I had this person in mind specifically already. It would be Macaulay fucking Culkin.
Oh, interesting.
People would be like, oh, that's Macaulay Culkin. Oh, he's going to be somebody? And then it'd be like the one time you see him. And then literally, like I would give him a name and everything for that episode. Like, for... Fuck, I don't even...
It doesn't matter.
Say a guy's name really quick. First name.
Jeff.
So I'd be like, oh, Jeff. And then, like, the next episode, I'd be like, oh, my God, did you guys hear? Jeff was in a bad car accident, and he passed away. It is so sad. And everybody'd be like, what the fuck? Like, I thought Jeff was going to be somebody.
Yep. I mean, that sounds about right. I like it. I would do that. But, yes.
I like, though, that this is how they end the episode, because Sophie gets that, like, disappointed look on her face.
Yeah, yeah, I have some of that written down. I was like, because this Parker girl, like, she, you know, she apologizes to Jesse for roasting him, and they just, you know, she's new, and just
she's new.
She wanted them to like her, and they start chatting, and they're having a good time, and yeah, they pan over to Sophie, and she's got this, like, it's like a mixture of, like, jealousy with a little bit of, like, regret. Should have
been me.
Yeah, like, a little bit of that. Kind of a reaction, like,
oh yeah,
because we know that she still is in love with Jesse. You know, she had that letter, and
yep,
Vail hid it in the lost and found box.
Lost and found box.
That's gonna come back, you know it will. But yeah, and so that's how they end the episode. So it's like, oh man, this was like the episode of this whole season, not just this episode. This whole season has been like the season of breakups. Right?
Oh.
Because Sophie broke up with a couple of people. Jesse broke up with Meredith.
Yep.
Ellen and Rachel broke up. Charlie and Hannah broke up. And I think we're going to see Sid and... Or Charlie and Hannah. Charlie and Vail broke up. And I think we're going to see Sid and Hannah break up.
It almost makes me feel like, though, with all the breakups that have happened, they're going to swerve us and they're going to work it out.
Maybe. I don't know, man.
Like, because it almost feels like that's what they're building to. It's like a roller coaster. Yeah. It's like tick, 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 breakup. Tick, 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 breakup. Tick, 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 breakup. And then you're going to get to that apex where you think it's going to be Hannah and Sid, and then it's going to be downward slope until everything fixes itself and then shoots back into a fucking tailspin of fun and joy.
Hey, B,
what,
man.
What if, though? Ooh. What if they don't break up, but the fucking climax is like Hannah dies?
If they kill Hannah, I think that would be the equivalent of them jumping the shark.
But think about it this way, though. A breakup, Sid's going to have to go through his mourning period. And he's going to have to, and just follow me, because there's a parallel here.
Dude, if she dies, it's a far longer mourning period.
But there's a reason to it, though. There'd be a reason to that one, though. If they break up, he's got to go through that I'm not worthy of dating people thing. If she dies, it's not that he's not worthy. He finds companionship in another person. It's that parallel.
Maybe, but I think if they break up, depending on the reason, I don't think it's guaranteed that he would feel like he's not worthy.
I mean, depending on the reason. Right now, I feel like they're going to break up over the distance.
And if anything, Taylor could bring him out of that if that happened anyway.
Well, I'm sure Taylor's going to bring him out of it. Otherwise, introducing her was for nothing.
I don't like the idea. Because, like, the whole... Everybody got up in arms about... I mean, spoilers for How I Met Your Mother. I'm going to say this right now. If you don't want to know how I Met Your Mother ends, then
stop the video here.
Yeah, you know what? Just end it right now. It's fine, because we're getting close to the end anyways. But people got so mad that Tracy dies.
See, I don't get mad that Tracy dies.
The internet exploded.
I know, but I'm saying I personally didn't get mad that she died. I respected that choice. What pisses me off is that the whole fucking show is about Ted finding his true love. They could have had her die. And they could have led it back to Robin, but not so blatantly, where he's talking to the kids and they're like, this is a story about you wanting to date Aunt Robin. And he's like, no. And they're like, yeah. And he's like, oh my God, I've been telling this long story about how I've had this conquest of fucking whores in your Aunt Robin.
Here's the problem. You, like most of the internet, put your own expectations on the show.
You're right.
That's the problem. This is the story that they were telling from the beginning. And they have been telling us that this is the story from the beginning.
Well, I mean, they tell us, like, from episode one, because he meets a woman named Tracy.
There's zero reason why he would start this process of this story, meeting Robin and they're dating and all that shit, if it wasn't about her.
That is true.
He wouldn't.
I still just hate it.
He may not realize it as a person, because it's in his subconscious.
Oh, yeah, I get that.
You know what I mean? As a storyteller. But that's the whole reason why he starts there.
No, I get it. Yeah. Like I said, I just...
Because you can't say, oh, well, they had to introduce Robin so that they could, you know, because they meet at Robin and Barney. But they didn't start it off introducing any of the other people. If that's the case, right. They should have started it in college then, when he met Marshall. That to show true. Us everybody, you know, or start the show when he met Barney, because it's also Barney's wedding.
That is
like,
true.
You know what I mean? They've been telling us. And for like three seasons before the end of the show, they were telling us that she was dead.
Oh, yeah. There were signs.
It is there. There are multiple points where it's like, oh, this chick dead. But people didn't want to believe it. They didn't want to accept that.
All right. Back to How I Met Your Father, though.
Yes. So there's that. But yeah, I mean, that was the end of that portion of it and everything. I had one question, because technically I had two, but I covered the Vale and Charlie one as we were talking about it.
Wait, I want to hear it anyway, though.
The Vale, it was all the stuff about her parents and...
Oh, okay. And okay, stuff. So literally we covered it.
Oh, yeah. I went right down to my question section, went right through it. As we were talking about it, because I was like, well, we're really right here. I might as well talk about it. But my question is, it seems pretty obvious that Parker is going to be a new love interest for Jesse.
Pretty obvious, yeah.
Do you think he's going to self-sabotage this one, or do you think it could actually last for a little bit?
So, okay, so I actually thought about this one, and I was like, I don't think he's going to self-sabotage this one. I think it's going to be a group member sabotages it, and I think it's going to be Vale.
Vale? Oh, like doing it for Sophie?
For Sophie. She knows, man. Yeah. Now she's gonna try to protect Sophie at this point.
Yeah, because I don't think Sophie would do it on her own. I'm gonna say it like this.
She doesn't have the testicular fortitude to.
She ain't got the balls for
I was
it.
Trying to say it more politely, but yeah, she ain't got the balls. She's too much of a pacifist to go and do something. She wants Jesse to be happy, even if it means it's not with her.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, I don't think Sophie will do
but
it.
But I could absolutely see Vale getting all up in there. Yeah.
Yeah, and doing it all under the radar, too, and not even being caught about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. I'm also interested how the breakup will affect Ellen. How the Rachel and her breakup.
I mean, she's clearly not taking it well to start, but I think with the friendship group she has, she's going to... I'm not going to say bounce back, but I think she's going to recover.
Think about this. This was her first relationship since her divorce.
Yeah.
It was essentially her rebound. I mean.
Yeah, but it put her in a good headspace.
It did. So my hope is that it doesn't break her. Like, that's all I want. I don't want her to be broken at this point.
I don't think it will, though, because, again, though, she's got a good enough friendship group that I don't think they're going to let her wallow in it.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, she'll find somebody soon, too. You know, who knows? Somebody better. I don't know. Like, I liked Rachel, but they started off in a bad. Like, they didn't start off the best of ways.
Well, what if, just putting this out there, what if the girl who was just talking to Jesse isn't a straight woman?
Oh, you think, what if Parker and Ellen end up together? I mean,
what if it's like a swing and a miss type thing for Jesse? Like, he's talking to this girl. She's new. All she's looking for is a friend. Maybe. Now she's got a friend in Jesse. They hang out with the group a few times, and then she's like, hey, well, can you tell me about that Ellen girl? And he's like, oh, it's my sister. You know, she's into the just move.
That would be quite a swerve, and I would kind of dig it.
I mean, I try to think outside the box and look at, like, this could happen. This could happen. I mean... Who's to say she doesn't meet Charlie and get interested in Charlie? He's quite the ladies' man.
It's true. I think if she went for Ellen, that would be a really interesting swerve.
I'm just saying, sometimes, you know.
Especially because it's like, we think it's Jesse, but then she ends up going for his sister. That would be kind of neat, you know.
It's always the sister.
I like it. I don't know. I'm excited to see where it goes. We've got 4 episodes left, 3 weeks.
I'll say it like this. I want to hear the audience thoughts on this. I want them to pop over, leave us some comments, leave us some voice messages. You know where to find us. Every link we have is last call, HIMYM. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. Who's going where? What chess pieces are in play? And who's going to end up with who?
Yes.
And what briefcase has the $1 million?
Boom. Let's do it. All right, John. What are your final overall thoughts on the episode?
Captain's log. Stardate 1. Episode wasn't the worst. Wasn't the best.
Yeah.
Definitely a lot of plot hole. Definitely a lot of coincidence needed.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is maybe the writers could have used a drink or a fresh pair of eyes.
Yeah, I mean, which is surprising because, like, this guy did... I thought Universal Therapy was a great episode.
It was. You know? But, I mean, not every episode can be a winner, bro.
That's true. And like you said, it's not that this episode was bad. It just could have been better.
Yeah. I mean, how many times have we watched How I Met Your Mother and been like, this episode, it's Yeah. It's not the worst episode we've seen, but it's not one of the best.
That's true.
I mean, I can say that about every show.
But I do have to say... Best part of this episode is that Vale and Charlie storyline. That thing, that piece is fantastic.
Because they're going to say a bang, bang, bang and a bang, 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 bang and a bang.
Want, 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 want.
Bang.
I also did enjoy that parody song.
Oh, my co-workers.
Yeah.
I want Amy. Also, can we just talk about really quickly that I started to notice that the ends of the episode always close with a modern cover of a classic song.
Yeah. I love that.
One really got me. This one hit, and I was like, oh, that's a beautiful cover.
Yeah.
Like, and I went in a couple of episodes ago, I had asked you to look up who the, there was the Tom Petty one.
Yeah.
It wasn't Tom Petty.
Was it? I remember you asking me to look up somebody, like one of the songs.
Pretty sure it was, I don't remember what song. Was it American Girl?
It might have been. I don't remember. I don't remember what song.
It's You Get What You Give was the song. Okay. It was New Radicals.
Oh, yeah.
I had you look it up for me because I really liked the cover. And it's on my Spotify playlist now. I'm like, oh, my God.
You know, I haven't looked, but I really think it would be cool if they put all the end songs, whatever, into like a How I Met Your Father Spotify playlist type of thing.
I mean, they did that with How I Met Your Mother. They made How I Met Your Mother CDs, and it was the music of How I Met Your Mother.
Yeah, but that was like the stuff from within the show.
Yeah, but they also did like music of How I Met Your Mother too. Like that's
I don't think I've ever
heard
those.
Scrubs did a music of How I Met Your Scrubs did a music of How I Met Your Mother. You know,
I'd listen to that, but no, like a lot of these covers, I'd love for them to just put them together in a playlist.
Honestly,
so I
kind of want you to go back to season one and go through like all the ends,
yeah,
and like kind of pull the list and see which ones. Like, I'd make a playlist of that.
I'll have to see if the wiki is updated, because at least with the How I Met Your Mother wiki, it tells you what songs are in the episode. So I'll have to go and look and see if they've updated for season one and for like the previous episodes of season two see if they've updated what songs are in it for like the ending and stuff. And yeah, we'll check that out. It'd be pretty cool. Put it together, maybe put the list up on Twitter or something like that. That'd be neat. Yeah, that'd be pretty cool. But yeah, I enjoyed the episode, but yeah, I agree. Not the best, but not the worst or anything like that. It's just kind of in the middle. You know, whatever.
It's balancing that line.
Had some good stuff. Had some stuff that could have been fixed, but, you know, is what it is. But, you know, unless you got anything else, I'd say you could let everybody know where they can find you, my friend.
I'm going to keep it simple tonight. Jump on over to Twitter. Look me up. I put my name out there a bunch of times. If you don't remember by now, then you shouldn't be listening to this podcast, but I'm hoping you stay around because it's Simply Saying J1, but I'm not going into what I do. Go find me, look me up, and do it for yourself. Do your own homework.
There it is, folks. You can find me on Twitter at Movie Blog Merc. That's the Twitter page for my site, Merc with the Movie Blog. If you are watching this on the YouTube channel, you are watching it on the Merc with the Movie Blog YouTube channel. So be sure to hit that like button if you like what you're watching. Smash that subscribe button and click that little bell wherever the fuck it is, man.
And remember that if you're watching from your mobile device, you can set the notifications to let you know when we drop new content. That's but we're going to tell you everywhere. Anyway, it's usually every Friday.
Yeah, we try. No, Monday.
Oh, Monday. I'm sorry. Every Monday.
Yeah, we try.
Meant Monday.
Well, we used to drop Father on Fridays because we were doing it two at a time. 2 weeks. Like, we did Mother on Mondays, Father on Fridays. But when we stopped doing two a week, everything is on Monday. This way I've been doing it.
Everything's on Monday.
Monday, suckers. But yeah, if you are listening to this on audio, you can head on over to anchor.fm/lastcall, HIMYM, and leave us a voice message over there. We'd love to hear from you, your thoughts, questions, concerns. Maybe give us some predictions. Ask us some questions about stuff, you know, that you're thinking about from the episodes, you know, where the show could be going.
How I Met Your Father. You have a random question you want to ask us? Why is Josh always wearing white t-shirts?
I don't always wear white. Sometimes I wear blue. Suck it.
Oh, man. Why is Josh so handsome?
I mean, that's a hard question. You know, I'll have to give it some thought. and if you guys want to know, actually ask the question. And then we'll do that. But, we will play that out on air. And we'll talk about whatever you say, you know, right there on an episode.
Unless you ask us specifically not to play it on air. And we
that's
then will.
True. Yes.
We have been asked not to play stuff on air, and I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
We respect people's privacy.
Yeah. And if you are on Apple Podcasts and you really like what you're listening to, you can leave us a 5-star review, and I will read that out on air as well. Spotify, you can leave us a rating over there. It'll help boost us in the rankings and get us seen more by people. It'll really help us out that way. You can leave comments on the YouTube channel as well. Oh, well, we always forget about to mention that, but we do get comments here and there. So you definitely do that. And I'll, you know, if you have questions or whatever and you put them in the comments there, I'll read them out as well. And always Twitter and Instagram at Last Call, HIMYM. Patreon also, Last Call, HIMYM. You know, if you guys want that, that's cool. No pressure. It's all good in the hood. Hells yeah. Folks.
It's all good, man.
It's all good, man. But yeah, like I said, at Last Call, HIMYM. And I think that's all I got for him, man. What do you got for him?
If you ain't chewing Big Red, fuck you. Also, you don't have to go home, but you can't listen here.
That's right, everybody. Catch you next time.